Hello, good evening, good morning and afternoon. Welcome to episode 3 of Bites. We are Brits in the End Zone. We're four mates from the UK giving our take on all things NFL. For those of you who have yet to listen, we are here for newcomers to the sport and those who do or do not religiously follow Red Zone, fantasy football and everything else associated, like hot dogs, gossip, player news and legendary Hall of Famers. We'll introduce fantasy football for those who have never played, as well as providing our tips, tricks and predictions. We are JP, who is a new Browns fan. Say hello.
Hello, everyone.
Greeny, a Chargers fan.
Go on your bolts.
So I was meant to say Darn, there was instructions.
Let's go with Greeny.
Doesn't matter. Okay. And Charles, I've put here Jags fan and others.
Just the Jags. Go Jags. Hey,
there
guys.
There we go. And me, Adley, I'm an Eagles fan, as is Charlie, our top engineer. So that's who we are. Let's do a quick rundown of what we are going to hear today. So coming up this week, we'll answer special questions sent to us by none other than NFL UK's very own Neil Reynolds, also Sky Sports pundit. We'll be looking at the latest shenanigans that have been taking place in the NFL offseason and looking at wide receivers. Lots of fantasy chat. We'll answer your emails, tweets, and of course, it will be Dan's top three, which everyone loves. So let's kick off today with Tailgate, which is our chance to mention our sponsor, which is MSG-free Chinese, courtesy of
Zing Zing. Zing.
There we go. You've got to use the code
BITES20. That was very
interesting. That was good.
That was really nice.
Wasn't even rehearsed. I just panicked, forgot their name. BITES20 gives you 20% off food, only if you're in London. If you're anywhere outside London, you're just going to get frustrated.
That's BITES with a Z on the end.
Exactly.
It's an anagram.
BITES20. Yeah.
Let's not go on you with anagrams again.
People have been doing it, apparently. They've been eating Chinese as a result of us.
And getting 20% off. Good lads.
Can I just take this time to wish Josh Adley a very happy birthday for the other day.
Thank you. 2 days ago. Yeah.
Cheers.
Was it two or one? 2 days ago. Yeah.
2 days ago.
And you're sporting a very lovely shirt.
A new shirt, courtesy of Charles. My Eagles Alshon Jeffrey shirt. So. He
Alshon
liked my tweet.
He liked the picture, didn't he?
He did, yeah. So we'll try and get him on the podcast, maybe.
Yeah.
Zero chance of that. cool, let's kick off. So Neil Reynolds, he sent us a question, which is pretty cool. His question was, if you guys could interview one NFL player, past and present, each, who would it be and why? So JP, coming to you on this one, who would it be?
So the present NFL player that I would really love to interview is James Harrison. He's a linebacker for the Steelers. He's a really interesting guy. A lot of this offseason, he's been posting these wild workout routines on Twitter and Instagram. If you have the chance, check them out. It's at jharrison9292. Little shout out. he does these crazy things. There was one the other day where he was doing, it's called hip thrusting. And it was 675 pounds of weight just on his hips. Like, I don't even know what the purpose of that was, but
my word.
He just has massive muscles everywhere.
He's a huge guy. I mean,
can you convert that to stone for me? I don't quite know that.
Lots of stones.
I mean, he's 39 years old. He's been at the top of his game for a while. And, you know, considering he was undrafted in 2002 for being sort of too short and too light, you know, I'd really want to just ask him how he, like, keeps up this.
How he's so massive and where he gets his steroids from.
39, wow.
Maybe.
That is impressive.
And then a player from the past, I mean, Peyton Manning, for me, I would just love to speak to him, to just really sort of understand, you know, firstly what it's like being a number one pick in the draft. Like, I think that must be the pressure, the emotions, everything. I find it so fascinating. And you know, also his kind of his rivalry with Eli as well. Like, having your brother in the same league. Like, how does a household produce two Super Bowl winning quarterbacks?
Yes. And one other brother who's known for nothing.
Imagine being that third brother.
We should ask Neville.
Well, actually,
like Gary and Phil.
I was actually in New Orleans this weekend and I saw their family home growing up.
How was New Orleans?
Oh, it was excellent.
Yeah, we saw a lot of photos of food.
And a lot of food, lots of jazz, lots of grenades.
Yeah, exactly.
And one final thing, I'd
a lot tighter that shirt than last week.
One final thing, I'd love to ask Peyton. I mean, it'd be a bit harsh, but in terms of like when you get to the end of your career and when you're starting to lose like your power as a star quarterback, how do you deal with that? And how do you come to the realization that you're actually at the end of your career? Mm. I mean, what a way to go out though, winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, he's lucky he won the Super Bowl, to be fair, because otherwise it would have been known for quite a different reason, because he was actually pretty bad that last year, but his defence really carried him through. But a hell of a way to go out.
I love Peyton. He got me so many points in the first year I played fantasy, so it's always a soft spot for him.
And he threw like 7 touchdowns in a game.
It was the first day of the season. Yeah. Cool. Okay, well, good answers. Charlesy, who have you got?
My blast from the past would be O.J. Simpson.
Fair enough.
Maybe not actually to do with his NFL prowess, maybe just because I could probably sell that interview exclusive for a hell of a lot of money.
You might need a lawyer program on Netflix with every interview.
Well, I mean, still, I've got that interview in the
bag.
That
says so much about you, Charles. Just to give a bit of context here, I'm gonna do 5 seconds. He's shaking his head. Charles recently sold his ticket for the final game at Spurs, being a massive fan, and there was much discussion in our group as to whether that was the right thing to do. He did make a lot of money for it and probably pay for most of the season tickets. Kind of fair enough. Also a bit dirty, but
I can only imagine him winning a Super Bowl ticket that Jags finally make it and then selling out.
No chance.
The amount of emails we're going to get after this saying this is being edited out is going to be fantastic. Sorry, Charlesy.
No worries. Well,
vivid.
Yeah. But I've been to Spurs about 500 times.
Can't move on.
Has to justify it. Yeah.
Move on. Anyway, moving on. The current person involved in the NFL, I'm not going to go for a player, I'm going to slightly have a little twist, is the recently sacked head coach of the Jags and now defensive coordinator of the Los Angeles Chargers.
I think that's
there.
How he gets announced everywhere. Yeah. And coming out now, the recently sacked...
At his wedding.
Gus Bradley. The reason I've picked him is not because of he's really achieved anything in his career, almost because of the opposite. He's pretty much got the worst NFL management career of all time, apart from the one guy in like the 20s who was a head coach and also owned the team, so he wasn't exactly going to sack himself. The reason I wanted to interview him is because he didn't get sacked for such a long time, despite being this bad, because every single person said, but he's such a nice guy. He's a great guy. So I just would like to see how much of a great guy he is, and I reckon it'd be a really good time.
Maybe you could then go back to the league and be like, you know what, guys, he's not actually that great, just sack him.
He was a little bit out of his depth as a head coach, but you know, I think he's a good defensive coordinator.
That.
He
good
was
choice.
At Seattle, so
fair enough.
Cool. It'd be a fun chat.
Greeny.
My past player that I like to interview is Deion Sanders, who's the Hall of Fame cornerback. And he was a dual sport player because he played baseball as well. And he's got some amazing stats, as he's the only player to have played in the World Series and the Super Bowl.
Well, that's impressive.
And he
that's
also,
amazing. Yeah.
And he also hit a home run and scored a touchdown in the same week.
Jesus.
And he's a defensive player. So that kind of shows how incredible he really was. He's now an NFL analyst, so he's kind of got to interview all the greatest and the best players around. So I think as long as it's off record, because I think he just plays to his image a bit too much, I think there'd be a really good interview there.
See the guy who does interviews all the players after they get drafted?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With our favourite Takaris McKinnon.
Yeah.
So that'd be fun to get his view on that.
Yeah.
My present is Phil Rivers, the legendary Chargers quarterback. He's known for giving the best smack talk on the pitch.
Bit of home bias in there.
No, I don't think so here. So future Hall of Fame quarterback Phil Rivers here. And he reminds me of Stone Cold Steve Austin. So he's got that.
In what possible
way? He's got
way?
That charm about him, that kind of southern Texas, Alabama charm.
Brilliant. Okay.
Great guy.
Fair enough.
It'd be pretty interesting to ask him about his draft day experience as well.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, I don't know if he'd be too open about that. But in the 2004, Eli Manning was to be drafted by the Chargers. He said, I will not play for them because I don't want to be playing for a sinking team.
I remember.
So Philip Rivers ended up getting traded with the Giants to play for the Chargers.
Oh gosh, that is slightly embarrassing. But, you know,
yeah,
he's ended up in a great
he's done the right out of it, hasn't he? Cool. I would choose as my current player Richard Sherman, a bit of a legend, cornerback, part of the Legion of Boom. Generally, pretty good knowledge there. You're all impressed, aren't you? Thank you. I looked up a stat; could be wrong. Most interceptions and defended passes of any active player. If that's wrong, don't tell me.
You sound like you're reading that straight from Wikipedia now.
It is absolutely directly from Wikipedia.
He's also the Legion of Doom from the Seattle Seahawks.
Correct. That's true. He won Super Bowl.
You say Doom or Boom?
Legion of Boom, isn't it?
Yeah, just calling up Charles on that.
Yeah.
Okay. And also, of course, that famous interview where he slated Crabtree, which was amazing, which was funny. Yeah, so he just seems like a bit of a laugh, really. So him, and then for past, I'm going for a kind of maybe a similar kind of character in Terrell Owens, an ex-Eagle, although he did kind of slate the Eagles, saying at one point that he thought he probably shouldn't have signed for them, which I'm not too happy about.
He slated everyone, to be fair.
Yeah, exactly. But he's done a bit of rapping, a bit of acting since playing, six-time Pro Bowler, and generally just quite exciting to watch. And when I first started watching NFL, it was McNabb throwing touchdowns to him, so that was kind of quite cool. So that's my answer. So cheers, Neil, for the question. Whether you listen or not, it'd be great if you do. Let's pass over to Charlesy to hear some current news in and around the NFL.
Hey, yeah. First and foremost, let's get some you know, admin out of the way in terms of free agency movements. The one of the ones coming to the end of the movements is the Eagles. Adley's Eagles have signed LeGarrette Blount from the Patriots. He scored, I think, 20 touchdowns last season, which was kind of insane. But, yeah, so the fact that it kind of took him this long to find a team was a bit odd, but hopefully he's kind of found a home. They kind of needed a running back.
And, yeah, the veteran running back market was quite weird this year, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, there were lots of them and not really many takers. They kind of, everyone was keeping their cards close to their chest. But it's all played out now, so, you know, there we go. Another position player to add to your
talented
roster. It's
just, it's
roster.
All going well for the Eagles at the moment until we start playing. But yeah, it's all going well.
Eagles
now.
Offense is looking
pretty strong.
Exciting.
Yeah. I mean,
they've
got a lot of pieces from last year, so that's it's only a good thing for you.
Happy days.
Now that's gone. Let's go back to the fun news. Recently, the front cover of the new Madden game was announced, and it was none other than Tom Brady, the GOAT, the greatest of all time.
Has he never been on it before? It's,
somehow no, which is kind of surprising.
But, you didn't want to be jinxed.
Well, that's the thing. There's people who know about it. There's a Madden curse, which is basically when you get announced as the cover face of the game, you then, I think, like 90% of the time in the last 15 years, end up having an atrocious season the next year, either through injury or just
falling into obscurity.
Yeah, so
the real test now, if he is the GOAT.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Can he withstand the Madden curse? And in fact,
but if you are 40
since,
years old,
well, no,
you
to
could
be fair, even since he got announced that he was the cover of Madden, it's come out that apparently he had a load of concussions last year. So already. It's
concussed Tom Brady is still better than everyone else.
That's true, but you know, it's already having its effect that he might get in a bit of trouble for. Well, he's.
I'm not
Giselle.
Sure being on the cover has given him retrospective.
Well,
I worked that one out.
The powers of the Madden curse are unknown, so
are strong and alive.
Absolutely. But no, that was a conversation, an interview with Giselle, who's his wife.
I would like to interview Giselle also.
I'm sure you would. We've had some epic games, Greeny, on Madden, haven't we?
Last second Hail Marys. I remember them all very fondly.
Yeah. I used to like the bit where you become a player and you set up a little season. That was quite fun. I don't know if they still do that, but
probably.
maybe they'll send us some free games for like, for my PS2 that I've got.
But all right, well then, you know, that's the Madden curse and Tom Brady.
Well done, well covered.
There we go. Another bit of a nice little fluff news was. The grandson of Bob Marley has signed for the San Francisco 49ers.
That's amazing.
Which is, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
because California's a legal state. That makes sense.
Legal for marijuana, that's, I'm assuming. Yeah, well done.
Thanks for explaining the joke.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of our listeners.
Charles,
you've
got to be careful what you say.
No, that's fine. But it's a shame he didn't sign for the Bills because he could have been a Buffalo Soldier.
Oh,
he's got to get it in.
Had to get something in there.
Yeah.
But that's quite a cool signing, you know.
Nice, cool.
Hopefully he can, make a name for himself so he's not just that guy's grandson. But, you know, we'll see.
A bit like you're the grandson of the guy who whistled on a track. Right?
Is that not right?
He whistled on a Hot Chocolate, or he was part of Hot Chocolate?
He was in the band Hot Chocolate. Yes, he was. Yeah. I don't know what you want me to say.
Can that be our theme tune?
Could he whistle us? I don't know. He might not still be.
He was
us.
The guy whistling on Always Look on the Bright Side of Life.
That's actually pretty cool. Yeah, there we go. That's what and you're known for.
There, exactly. Anyway, moving on to other news, Aaron Rodgers got a bunch of people out of doing an exam because a high school teacher is a massive Aaron Rodgers fan and said to the class if they can get a tweet from Aaron Rodgers to her she'll cancel one of their midterm exams, and he did, and he was like, he sarcastically said, "I'm sure this exam is important, but here you go.
Have was a day Twitter off." When we were at school,
can we do a thing that if Aaron Rodgers retweets or tweets us, I can get out of the next podcast? Or?
I mean, you're out. What, if you want to get out, you're out.
We'll allow that now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
we've been waiting for you to say that.
What is going on at the moment? It's like chicken nuggets. Give me nuggets for tweets. Give me out of exam slides.
Got out of control.
Yeah, it's the only way forward, really. fair enough.
And if you remember last week or the last podcast, you mentioned that the new Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver Torrey Smith sponsored a load of animals.
Cats? Yeah,
Was it not zoo animals?
I think it was about 50 or 60
I've
animals.
I've already forgotten.
Well, this week Malik Jackson, the defensive lineman for the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, the one and only, has well and truly outdone him. He's gone and sponsored 181 adoption fees for pets in the Florida area, and that is lovely.
Is this going to be like a running theme now?
Yeah.
Who's going to outdo Malik Jackson?
Yeah, but eventually also there'll just be too many adopted pets and they'll have to put a load down, and that'll be really sad.
Oh, wow. But the Torrey Smith thing was actually a leaving gift from Baltimore, so I wonder if the Malik Jackson is him saying goodbye also.
He's just 1 year into a $90 million contract for 6 years, so I doubt he's going anywhere.
Do you reckon there's a podcast somewhere in a small state in America at the moment going, and Andrew Charles from England is promising to put down?
Yeah, please don't quote me out of context there.
Oh,
I'm
brilliant.
So sorry. I love animals.
Good news.
I've got a quick bit of fun news as well that I saw today. So Rashard Jennings, so former New York Giants running back
and Jacksonville Jaguars,
and now a free agent, is actually doing Dancing with the Stars in America, which is the equivalent of Strictly Come Dancing here. And it's not that uncommon for NFL players to do this during the offseason.
Antonio Brown did it last year.
Antonio Brown did it. Megatron's done it before. Mm. Jerry Rice.
Is it Von Miller as well?
Or? Von Miller. Yeah. And Emmitt Smith even won it.
Wow. So,
that's correct, because over here, isn't it just like D-list celebrities?
I was going to say, could you imagine like Wayne Rooney doing the Foxtrot?
I would love that.
I'd probably actually watch it if you did. So.
Oh, we'd all watch it.
Yeah.
But just imagine.
That's quite cool.
Now you get like Lee Sharp and...
Well, yeah, rather than getting Andy Murray, we get Andy Murray's mum.
That's true, yeah.
It's not quite the same.
Cool. Good news update. So let's go on to JP. So this is the part of the show where we like to talk through a different position each week. We've done quarterbacks, we've done running backs, so the next natural place to go is wide receivers. Jip, what have you got for us on this?
Okay, so wide receivers, what's their role? It's basically to catch the ball from the quarterback.
Simple, really.
Done, that was a quick segment.
Exactly. So moving on. Now, catch the ball and basically run it as fast as they can into the end zone. Or if they're already there, just catch it in the end zone for a touchdown. You know, when the team does decide to play the running game, the wide receiver's job is basically there to run his normal routes, so to, you know, put the defense off so that it's easier for the running back to get through, but also to help block and help the running back as well. There's a couple of main type of receivers. You know, there's the slot receiver who works sort of mainly in the middle of the field, catching short yardage passes. And then there's outside receivers who are sometimes, you know, they're the big body guys. They're the, you know, the sprinters, the ones fastest on the team usually, who can really sort of get up the field and, you know, make those long yardage catches from the quarterbacks.
Can I ask a question? We might be covering this later, so I don't know if I'm wrong, but if you're in fantasy, I know we're going to get to that later, is it better to have a slot receiver or one of the outside guys? I guess slot gets more catches, but the outside ones
so
might
for PPR,
get the...
PPR, slot receivers are better, but, well, certainly have a boost. But in general, you want the outside guys, especially the big ones.
Because they're the ones who will get
the target man.
Right, okay.
They're the home runners. They're the ones that are going to get you the big yardage and the big splash plays.
And the most touchdowns, most likely.
Okay.
So I thought this was a good time also to highlight some of the best catches we've seen from wide receivers. So, I mean, if you're listening to this now, get YouTube open and kind of watch these as we're talking them through. It'd be really cool to do. So, I mean, the first one, for me, OBJ's one-handed catch
against the Cowboys. That's got to be the go-to for anyone who's watching NFL at the moment, really.
Yeah, pretty
it?
Much broke the internet when that happened. It was outrageous.
It was like a regular season catch, but it's been known as the best catch of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's falling backwards from like a 40-yard throw into the end zone for a touchdown. Yeah,
and the defender was also called for defensive pass interference. That shows that he was kind of climbing on Odell Beckham. And then he manages to catch it with three fingers.
Actually, the catch itself actually reminds me a lot of myself in Kensal Rise in your old flat green, just sort of falling back into the patio about to smash my head, but did it for the sake of the game. No, that is the catch, isn't it? Really, that's the one I think of.
Yeah,
anyway.
Well, certainly in the modern era, that's the one that everyone's going to hark back to.
Talk about.
Yeah, and he was a rookie.
He was a rookie. Amazing catch. I mean, we've got David Tyree's helmet catch in the Super Bowl. For the Giants against the Patriots. Again, a crazy catch. There's 90 seconds left. Eli should have been sacked about three or four times in this one play. Managed to squirm his way out, throw the ball down, and David Tyree's just caught the ball against his helmet.
One-handed against the helmet.
Yeah, surrounded.
It's just amazing. I mean, and that set up the winning touchdown of the Super Bowl. Yeah. It doesn't get better than that.
Pretty cool.
Good story about that. The guy who Eli Manning ended up throwing the winning touchdown to Plaxico Burress, who is known for shooting himself in the leg in a nightclub.
There we go.
What an idiot.
A couple of other quick ones. I mean, Randy Moss versus Darrelle Revis. I mean, he reels in a one-handed catch over Revis's head. I mean, Revis, one of the best cornerbacks
of the last
at the time.
Years.
Yeah, and at the time, is at the peak of his powers. Amazing catch. You've got Dwight Clark's The Catch. So this is the 49ers, the throw from Joe Montana. His arms fully stretched, both feet off the ground. Incredible catch. And then just lastly, can't forget Edelman in the Super Bowl last year.
I mean, that was just insane. And also there's the fact that Edelman was mic'd up and quite a few of the defenders were, and you just hear him afterwards just going, like screaming, "I caught it," as in like he kind of knew he had but still couldn't believe it. He was just like, "Oh my God, I caught it, I can't believe it."
Yeah.
And because it was unbelievable.
It's amazing.
And again, that set up the winning, or the equal, to put it into overtime, the touchdown with a minute to go.
Yeah, the things these guys can do under pressure is...
He's a good fantasy player, Edelman, actually.
Especially in PPR, he's a slot receiver.
Right. There's too many mouths to feed.
Sorry?
There's too many mouths.
Oh, as in too many people for Brady to throw to, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got Cooks, you've got Amendola, you've got Gronkowski.
But Edelman always just seems, I don't know, I feel like he always kind of, maybe it's just when he's playing against me.
He is like Tom Brady's like best mate as well.
Yeah,
so that
they've got great rapport.
Yeah.
Solid guy.
Did he used to be at the Broncos, or I got that wrong? Is that someone else?
That was Wes Welker.
Oh, yeah, similar. Same. Whatever.
Again, he was a slot guy as well.
Okay.
So,
that's at least must have been my confusion.
Sort of correlation.
Yeah, he directly replaced him. So.
And then, like we've done on previous pods, just some of the best wide receivers.
Wait a second, before we go on, I think that talking of catches, I think we need to do a segment on celebrations at some point, because that could be quite cool.
That sounds like a Dan's top three to me.
Dan's got a bit of his own celebration, but I'm thinking Gronk, Spite, all that kind of stuff. Let's do that in the future. That'd be cool.
Definitely.
OBJ loves his little dances.
Yeah.
Does.
Cool. Sorry.
Okocinco, T.O.
Cam.
Then, so our best wide receivers of all time. Quickly run through them. I mean, Jerry Rice... I mean, universally kind of known as the best.
Yeah.
I mean, he was actually dismissed by most NFL scouts during the draft. People didn't want to take that risk on him. They said he wasn't fast enough. He was too small. The 49ers picked him, and he kind of never really looked back. 22 touchdowns in a 12-game season.
Yeah, I mean, he's held like every record. It's just absurd.
Well, they're saying he's not only the best wide receiver, but probably the best ever player.
Best pound for pound.
Dollar for dollar? No, that's stone for stone. I'm getting confused between my pounds.
I mean, we've got Randy Moss, the freak. One of the greatest athletes to sort of play the game, lightning quick. You just couldn't cover him. Terrell Owens, we mentioned him just before.
Yeah, is he considered as
he's
one of the best?
He's getting interviewed by Josh Adley next week.
Correct. Yeah. For my other podcast.
Too physical, too fast. He's in
your face.
10. Yeah, he's in the top 10 all-time receptions and yards. And he actually played with a broken leg during the 2005 Super Bowl. So.
Or at least he'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, that seems a bit ridiculous.
Well, didn't that guy...
Alex Mack, the centre for the Falcons, play with a broken...
Are you questioning him?
Well, no, I think broken leg isn't like the same sort of broken leg that you imagine that... When
it's not in half and trailing
yeah,
on the ground.
Exactly. I think, yeah, there's some sort of small
fraction. But talking
of,
you know, the way we often, you know, talk about English football, soccer, as it were, but, you know, the way we call it football, I think that the thing that always annoys me about that game is just how, you know, they're meant to be the best athletes in the world and they go down like, like they've just been shot. So I like hearing stories about sportsmen who are playing through broken legs. That makes me feel like...
In the old Firm derby, Rangers v Celtic, there was a guy, Alex Wright. I'm sure there are other examples, but he got like five of his front teeth knocked out and he continued playing, bandaged head, blood
like
pouring everywhere.
I mean, there's a difference between being safe with concussion and stuff, but I like the fact that, you know, I want to feel like that. You get that in rugby. It's a sense of pride. It's like, no, I'm a fit athlete. I don't want to show weakness. I want to carry on. I'm here to play, you know.
Well, there's that famous German Man City goalie who carried on playing with a broken neck.
Now that doesn't sound sensible.
That's past the line. That was amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
So so we've got Chris Carter drafted by the Eagles. His famous quote about him was just all he does is catch touchdowns.
He had the best. He was doing the one-handed touches before OBJ.
That all I do is host podcasts. Host one podcast.
Can't ask for much more from your wide receiver.
No.
And his first ever professional catch was for a touchdown. So
that's cool.
Worked quite well.
Yeah,
not too bad.
And then one of my personal favourites, I couldn't go on without saying him, Calvin Megatron Johnson.
Absolute beast.
I mean, the Megatron, fact that you're called Megatron, I mean, it kind of gives it away.
I don't think he was born Megatron.
Yeah, but you can't call yourself Megatron be called Megatron if you're not.
It's just his insane size, frame, and speed. He's just a monster. Yeah.
Cool. There's a kicker called Legatron. I don't think he's playing anymore.
not quite the same career.
Brilliant. Just before we move on from wide receivers, something that I find the most impressive thing about them is how they get their toes in, their feet down. Yeah. So this is often, I mean, it's anywhere, but especially like in the end zone, they'll be throwing a ball to right in the corner and it's not good enough just to catch it. You've got to get both feet down on the right side of the line, and if one part of your shoe is touching the line, you're out. Mm-hmm. So, and that's just amazing, because what's going through the head is just catch the ball, but at the same time they're thinking to kind of get in. And for me, they're the best catches when they're right on the edge, they get their toes in and then they fall over.
Yeah, and what's amazing as well is they have to learn that kind of later on, because at college you only need one foot in to a touchdown. Yeah. So for the NFL it's a different rule, so they kind of have to...
Why would they not just have the same?
I don't know.
It's
but...
a bit strange, isn't it? You'd think you'd want your college players ready and not have to kind of learn that along the way.
Exactly, you could draft a wide receiver who just will never learn that.
Yeah, I mean that. Yeah, it seems like something quite difficult to pick up, because they're concentrating so hard on catching the ball at ludicrous angles and twisting their body and getting the cornerback off them, to then also control your legs at crazy angles. It is phenomenal how much their bodies can bend.
It's also a point I've just made.
hey, keep on your mind what we're playing for. Keep on your mind what we're playing for. Let's go. Come on now. Let's go get this win.
I'm joking. I'm being overly harsh there. Dan's top three. Want to hear it.
Oh, okay.
We all want it.
All right. So this podcast, I wanted to take you through my favorite current NFL players who have had interesting run-ins with the law back at college.
How did you narrow it down to three?
Exactly. Greeley's top 3,000.
So I've tried to remove anything violent or anything which I kind of deem to be insensitive or not great.
I mean, anything you get in trouble with the law is probably quite insensitive.
Yeah, but, true. Yeah. But I'll kick us off. Number three, I've gone with Cam Newton. So, although he's much loved now, at college he was arrested and charged for stealing another student's laptop, which is worth around $2,000.
That's so minor.
Yeah, these are all quite minor. They trace it to his dorm room as he was downloading on LimeWire.
God, old school.
Yeah, I remember and when that. The campus police came to knock down his door, he threw it out his window, and they managed to find it in the trash because he repainted it. Like, imagine spray painting a car. He repainted it and wrote his name Cam Newton all over it.
The classic, just straight out the window. Yeah. I don't know what you mean.
To be fair, probably wouldn't quite a good throw.
And this was actually when he was the backup quarterback at Florida to Tim Tebow. So after that, he actually left Florida and then picked up again with Auburn, and that's where he won the national championship and became the number one pick in subsequent draft.
Okay. Cool.
There we go.
Number two is Jameis Winston. This is actually a bit more popular and was quite available, quite seen in the press. He was given a civil citation for walking into a supermarket chain and stealing $35 of crab legs.
Oh, my word.
That's just so unnecessary.
Yeah, is that while he's contract?
That's a lot of crab.
Depends. I don't know the local prices, I guess.
No, but this was actually this was several months after he had just won the national championship with Florida.
Oh, right, okay. So he's not an NFL player earning millions of pounds.
No, but he knows he will be. Like,
yeah, either way, it's not right.
Don't jeopardise it.
Yeah.
I'm not condoning stealing for anyone.
Don't do it.
Not an NFL player.
And whilst he'd also not got charged for these other things, he was questioned about a long-running BB gun battle he was having, and Burger King reported that Winston was stealing soda in a ketchup cup.
Oh, God.
That sounds like the beginning of some sort of like nursery rhyme.
Yeah.
Could you repeat that line? Was it Burger King reported he was stealing something in a ketchup cup?
A ketchup cup.
At least it's not pop this time. Yeah. Oh, and number one, this just seems very typical Josh Gordon.
Here we go.
You said his name, we know that.
Yeah.
But with a funny twist. So, in the same day, he had played for Baylor against Kansas, and he had had a school record 94-yard touchdown. That evening, he went with his mate, who's also a wide receiver, and they went through the drive-thru at Taco Bell, fell asleep in the car at the drive-thru, and was found by the police at 2:30 in the morning, and they just found a load of marijuana sitting in the front compartment.
Well, he just fell asleep whilst ordering food.
I think they were waiting for it to open.
Okay.
We've all been there.
Yeah, so they were currently in the drive-thru slot, and press reported that he did not get the taco he ordered.
Oh, God. That's the key thing. Imagine we want to know about that story. Yeah.
He's got to be livid, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, he's livid now because he's not allowed to play football anymore.
Is that it? Is he done?
So yeah, what's going on with Gordon and my Browns? He keeps trying to apply to get reinstated.
But he's actually really good, isn't he?
He's amazing, but he just keeps doing weed and other stuff.
He had one incredible season where he was posting 200-yard games like every week.
Was this at the Browns?
That's a bad team. So to be doing well there is just amazing.
But be careful what you say about the Browns.
Don't offend JP.
Oh no, this is the Browns of the past.
Oh, absolutely.
The Browns of the future, a different story.
So is there any chance of me seeing Gordon line up for the Browns anytime soon?
Well, because
he's lining up in prison. That's about it.
He's kind of been done multiple times now, and so he applied for reinstatement at the beginning of the season, and they've currently denied it. I think you can wait for another two, three months, and then apply again. He needs to turn his life around. Mm.
It does seem a bit harsh that they're saying no to him, because I think Martavis Bryant's been back in the league and he's basically exactly the same thing. It's just because it's kind of cool to think Josh Gordon's an idiot.
That's what they're thinking. Oh, this is cool to gang up on this guy.
It doesn't seem a fair reason, because when other people are getting away with doing basically exactly the same thing.
Do you know Josh Gordon personally or something, Charles?
That like two weeks before fantasy drafts are ready, there's going to be all the talk that Gordon's coming back. He's going to go up the draft boards. Someone's going to take him in round six, thinking he's going to be a stud.
Yeah.
And then a week into the season,
that's someone probably being me, because I'll forget that he's not actually playing. I'm like, shit, how's this guy sitting around these suckers?
That's pretty much what happened last year, because people thought, he's got a 4-game ban at the beginning of the season. When he's back, he'll be amazing.
Yeah.
He then waited all the way till about 5 days before he was about to play and went, I'm quitting, I'm going to rehab. And like everyone in fantasy was like, had been saving him on their bench for all that time. And then we're like, oh.
How disrespectful of him to
look after his health.
To bend all of his fantasy players.
If you're going to do it, just do it straight away. Why you're not playing, go into rehab, not while you're like waiting to be reinstated.
Charles would definitely be one of those people that like ats the people on Twitter to have a go at them for ruining their fantasy week.
I traded away Josh Gordon, so I did very well.
Which league?
Oh, one of the many.
Charles, it's more likely he was actually in rehab the whole time, but is only allowed to say it to the press at that point. That would make far more sense.
Whatever.
He's still angry.
That's too much Josh Gordon talk.
Dan's top three. As prolific as ever. Cheers, mate. So we're going to now have a little bit of a fantasy chat. It's begrudgingly going to be run by the man who won our group fantasy last year, which is Charlesy.
Hello. Thank you very much.
You have to say hello every time.
Well, I mean, but this time you've introduced me as a champion, so I have to reintroduce myself.
It won't be happening again. I felt bad about the joke earlier, so now I'm being nice.
Thanks very much. Much appreciated. the wide receiver crew this year are the kind of the top names in that position. I think there's quite clearly a top three that are kind of at the top of everyone.
Can I see if I can guess them?
Yeah, go for it.
Julio Jones is
He's in there. He's in that top three.
I put him two.
I'm already struggling. Antonio Brown is definitely
in
there.
He's number one. He's got the consensus.
And then, I don't know, Dez Bryant, AJ Green?
No.
Neither of them.
No.
Hold on. OBJ.
OBJ.
You'd have AJ Green there.
Well, no, that's the thing. I think consensusly, there's like the top three.
Is that a word?
Well, the consensus is that there's a top three. But
who's the consensus? Is this like a town hall meeting?
Well, no. A lot of NFL experts, they put them in their top three. But I think it's fair to say that Mike Evans of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and AJ Green of the Bengals are pretty much in that same tier of, that.
They're just, your top five.
Yeah.
I
think Dez Bryant and Jordy Nelson, I think, are just a bit below them, but they're still, proper
really
studs.
Good, yeah.
But I think,
should we explain that stud in NFL fantasy means really good player, not just really good looking man?
No, exactly, yes. No, I don't find them that sexy, but...
Well,
when they saw a touchdown for me, the gloves are off. But
literally, okay.
But I think those are the top wide receivers certainly for this year coming up. But again, it's difficult to know because one year people can be touted as being an absolute sir, and then something can happen, and
you never can tell.
Okay, Allen Robinson last year.
Yeah, exactly. I think Greeny, you drafted Allen Robinson. You even got a shirt with his name on the back, and but essentially, and that didn't go great.
What happened to him? Not much.
Blake Bortles happened to him.
Oh, he was the shining star of the team, but the poor team dragged him down.
Mm. Yeah.
And the fan base.
Sorry about that. But in terms of wide receivers, the different types of wide receivers for fantasy, like we said, there's slot receivers, which if you're playing PPR, which is a point per reception, which is you can either play, you get an entire point per reception or half a point per reception.
We don't do that, do we?
We don't, but it's very common. Very common. And half point per reception is becoming kind of like one of the more popular ways of doing it.
Okay.
But I think you definitely get a boost for wide receivers over running backs because obviously they receive the ball more traditionally. But the slot receivers get more of a bonus because they're catching the ball more.
Yeah.
The ones that don't necessarily do that well are the ones, whilst they might get huge touchdowns and can win you a week in one play, like DeSean Jackson, formerly of the Eagles.
Yeah.
He used, he could like go a game doing absolutely nothing. And because he's so fast and rapid, he can just score an 80-yard touchdown, get you, 16, 17 points, and you absolutely over the moon. But then other weeks, he doesn't get that and he's not doing anything else because he's not catching the ball other than that. Yeah. So,
I'm confused. Are we talking about PPR or just good players here?
Different types of receivers.
I've just been looking at Charles saying, yeah.
Well, I feel like I'm explaining it to you.
I don't know why you need to... Two-time champ over here, my friend. Yeah, no, I get you. I've been on the end of DeSean doing absolutely nothing most weeks.
No, exactly. There's different types of... But then obviously you've got your big number one receivers, which are your AJ Greens, your Mike Evans, Dez Bryant, who... They're the ones that they're not only going to get a lot of touchdowns, but they're also going to get a lot of the focus of the targets, and they're going to do really well for you.
So who are you looking for? What kind of wide receiver? Because when I'm drafting, I'm looking for a player who's going to get a lot of receptions, a lot of targets from the quarterback, and then also when you're in the red zone, the quarterback's going to be looking for this player.
Well, yeah, like I said, that sort of group are the big built guys who are big targets so they can hold off single coverage.
Isn't it also pretty good sometimes to take someone who's your good number two? So if there's the whole thing about the first players getting double coverage, all the defenders are worrying about him. If you've got a good number two wide receiver, often he's gonna bring home the dough.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I think with fantasy, when you're looking, under that tier of, the top guys, the next lot, you're looking for opportunity. Fantasy is all about opportunity. How many targets are they going to get? How many chances are they going to have to make those big plays? And we put out a question on Twitter the other day that had an amazing response. So keep tweeting us, guys. And it was kind of just asking for, you know, outside of the top four, top five, who do you think are going to have big years? And we had some really good names. Maybe you guys can say who you like out of them. But, I mean, we had Michael Thomas of the Saints. We had Jordan Matthews of the Eagles. Keenan Allen coming back. Sammy Watkins. Pryor at the Redskins. Hopkins.
Yeah, I think a lot of them are great shouts. I mean, especially with Michael Thomas, because Drew Brees throws the ball so much that, you know, there's so many yards to be had.
And with Cooks leaving, there are targets out there that exactly. need to be taken from someone.
Yeah, and he was already the number one last year, so, you know, he could be huge this year.
Yeah, I would go for Keenan Allen. And in Charles's town hall meetings, the consensus
another
was
home
that,
bias decision.
Yeah.
Was that Keenan Allen would be have breakout seasons the last 2 years. He started very well 2 years ago, got a lacerated spleen. Last year, he had an MCL issue, so he was out for pretty much the bulk of the season. But when he is playing, he's electric. He's catching the ball, running it 40 yards.
Being out injured, though, for the last couple of years, how much risk are you putting in? How high are you going to take him in a draft?
I mean, last season, he was being drafted probably second round, but I think he will drop, and I might be tempted, based on me kind of picking poorly in my third picks anyway in the last few years, gambling on a third round.
Might as well make it another poor pick.
I like, I don't know if he's like even relevant to this conversation or if he's even a wide receiver.
Is he an NFL player?
Is Amari Cooper. What's the deal with him? Because especially, has he been there 2 years now? But I remember his first year being really good.
There's a big thing with wide receivers that they have third year breakouts, which is the third year they play is when they really are used to the league and they really kind of explode onto the scene. And Amari Cooper was one of the big wide receivers drafted in that year. And had a lot of hype, and he's actually done very well, and he's a very good team.
Carr's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
What I find really interesting with Cooper, though, is that he goes a good 2-3 rounds before Crabtree, and Crabtree has arguably outperformed him the last couple of years.
Well, he has outperformed him fantasy points-wise then, yeah.
So why would you take Cooper earlier? Is it just the potential for him? He's got a much higher ceiling, so he's got the potential to score a lot more points.
I think it's mainly because Amari is a cooler name than Michael.
And also Sherman doesn't like Michael Crabtree.
Exactly,
so.
Yeah.
But I think Crabtree's getting more touchdowns, and I think that's definitely skewing it in his
touchdowns
favour.
Touchdowns are key in fantasy there.
Absolutely, very much so. But people are thinking this will be the year where Cooper is going to get 14 touchdowns.
The third year breakout.
Exactly. So, you know.
But exactly to your point, Adley, at the Raiders, you had the defensive players are going straight after Cooper and kind of leaving Crabtree the opportunity.
Yeah.
So, who's kind of team or players that you think there is a stud wide receiver there, but maybe there's another secondary wide receiver who's got that opportunity?
Well, the season where you said you loved Allen Robinson and then drafted him really high in the draft is that season, Allen Hurns, the second wide receiver. He scored a touchdown every week for 10 weeks because everyone was focused on Allen Robinson. So that's, there are examples.
I had them
of
both, the Allen brothers.
Yeah. Well, I think last year, a really good example would kind of be Davante Adams. A lot of the defense were covering Jordy Nelson, and then Adams out of nowhere, I think, was your seventh highest wide receiver in terms of points.
I mean, that's just Aaron Rodgers, though. He does that. He throws on average 40 touchdowns a year, I think.
Adams had a lot of hype the year before, but he was so bad. He was dropping his eggs in the kitchen. He was.
Well, it used to be Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb used to have all those touchdowns, and now Davante Adams is the new second favorite, and he hardly catches the ball, but when he does, it's a touchdown.
Cool. Anything else fantasy? We need to discuss other stuff, surely.
I think we were going to say one sleeper each, which is a position, one player that you might be able to draft quite late on that might, kind of do well for you.
I've not prepared for this, but I shall think on my feet, but not first.
JP?
I'm going to go with Jameson Crowder?
Correct.
Yeah, Jameson.
Okay.
Slot receiver.
So I've only got written down Crowder, so I couldn't remember his first name. Crowder for the Redskins. Like I said, fantasy is all about opportunity, and Crowder has had an amazing amount of targets the last couple of years. His time spent on the field has gone up and up each year, and, with Pierre Garçon leaving, there are a lot more targets out there, and I think he is going to be one of the main guys. And DeSean Jackson leaving.
200 targets. Yeah,
I think he is going to be the guy that, if Kirk Cousins does line up week one, Crowder's going to be his man.
Yeah, that's a fair shout.
I'm going to go Dante Moncrief. So T.Y. Hilton's asserted himself as the number one go-to wide receiver. And I think similar to the Crabtree role, that kind of opens up opportunity for Moncrief, a big-bodied wide receiver, to get those red zone opportunities. Especially with Luck, hopefully being on his feet a bit more, can have a lot more attempts and throws.
Okay.
Greeny very helpfully just passed me a sheet with players' names on it because I was struggling. But I've managed to Google rather quickly. And the guy I've come up with, which could be wrong, is Kelvin Benjamin. Is this count as a sleeper? Because I remember him being pretty big, pretty good, and
he
Cam likes
really
to
well.
Throw.
Mm.
Is he good?
He started the season very well last year, got injured for the whole season before.
Oh.
There's been reports that he's shown up to training camp quite overweight. And I saw quite a funny tweet just on the way in today. It was a guy filming just some of his training from today, and they said that this is going to be used in an Apple commercial to show the phone in slow motion videos.
maybe not a good pick, but mark my words.
It was a great
Kelvin
pick on
Benjamin.
The Apple.
There we are. You can draft him. You can have him.
Yeah, I'll take him. I'll take him late. Okay.
I'll throw out John Brown of the Arizona Cardinals. He is
English?
No, unfortunately not. But he's sort of the forgotten man. He's been really big, really hyped, but then last year everyone was expecting big things and he unfortunately had a really weird...
Was it sickle cell anemia?
Sickle cell anemia, and just couldn't... It wasn't enough to kind of rule him out completely, but like he just wasn't right.
It just meant that he had a lot of shortness of breath
he was very fatigued
prone
the whole
fit
time.
Injuries.
And so they finally... he's had surgeries and he's finally... fixed that, and everyone's saying how well he's doing now, not in the off season. Also, they've got rid of Michael Floyd, who's gone to the Vikings.
Yeah.
So, and with Larry Fitzgerald being kind of quite old, I think John Brown could be in line to step up and take a big step forward this year.
Okay, we'll see how those guys get on. We're running out of time rather quickly, so we're going to go on to our last little segment, which is where we read out your emails, tweets, questions, all that kind of thing, and we will each answer them. So please keep this going. Our Twitter handle is at, what is it,
Brits_endzone.
Brits_endzone, that's it. So first question, which has come from Footy Ramblings, JW. This is for, I'm going to pass to Greeny. Thoughts on Redskins draft / prospects?
The Redskins went very defensive heavy, which was needed because they were kind of run all over last season. And I finally get to be correct in saying that they've drafted Jonathan Allen, who is known for his Superman sacks.
They're amazing.
So he's really one to watch there. I think my big worry is the Kirk Cousins thing. I think that creates a bit of uncertainty. Will he show that on the pitch? They've also lost about 200 targets from Pierre Garçon.
Crowder's going to take them there. So yeah.
I just don't know if he can
Pryor as well. But yeah, you're right. It's going to be difficult.
Yeah, so you get Crowder and Pryor. It could be good, but do they have the kind of years of experience in doing that to continue?
Fair point.
Fair enough. Next question, JP, I'm sending your way, which is from Simon at Share My Year. Which player or team do you think will regress the most in 2017? I like that question.
Okay, so I've picked a team and a player. So team, I actually think the Cowboys. They've lost some important offensive linemen, which is pretty much what their offense is based around. A good, a strong running game with Zeke, and Dak was afforded all that time because of the great line. But they've lost some of their key guys. How well is Dak going to do in his second season without some of them? He might not have as much time. So I don't think the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs.
Does that mean
year.
That Zeke doesn't get drafted high?
That's a bold prediction.
Or does it not?
I mean, he still will because, it's not necessarily as strong as last year, but they still have one of the best offensive lines.
It's still strong, just not as good. And player, we mentioned him earlier, LeGarrette Blount. He's definitely going to regress. He's still going to be a very good running back.
He won't
get
18 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's not going to score 20
but
touchdowns.
But he's not going to score that many touchdowns. He's not going to be in as many good positions because he's not on a Patriots offense.
Yeah.
So it's an obvious one, but...
Yeah. I like it.
Fair enough. Next one, which I'm going to answer myself, at Touchdown Tips. What's the plan for the podcast during the season? Friday still or earlier? I say I'm going to answer this. I don't really know. No, the plan is, I think, that we're always going to try and get podcasts out on a Thursday or Friday. Maybe we're going to try and get into a routine of getting out on a Thursday ahead of all the games. But maybe pre-season it won't be. The plan is still to do every other week until the season starts, or maybe just before we'll start doing it weekly. Is that correct, everyone?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
There'll be a time where, like, Greeny's away somewhere in America.
And then we'll just do it every day.
Yeah. Then we'll catch
get them
up.
Get all out, really.
Charles, got a question here, which is probably best for you. This is actually from Bites Fan Club, which is quite cool. Didn't know we had this. What is the optimal number of mock drafts per day one should do from now to the start of the season?
Well, I actually, in preparation for this, count, because every time I've done a few mock drafts, it has mock draft season has already begun for me.
You've already done some?
I have already done some.
Who's your number one overall pick?
Le'Veon Bell, but I haven't been picking from the number one spot. You know, it's random assignments, okay, until we know. But
surely you've been every spot at least twice already.
No, not that many times.
Have you been getting an A+ grade every
time?
No,
that's a big tip. You don't want to get an A+ grade because that means you're just picking the players they're suggesting to you. You want to kind of think outside the box and pick different players and get a team that you feel comfortable.
That's a lesson for kids. Don't go for the A+.
but no, you know, it has.
Give us a number, Charles. How many?
I counted and I have done 14.
This
so
day.
Far. Sorry. No, not today.
14 before. So for this upcoming season?
Already, yeah.
There
is a website where you could. You've done 14 in your life, Adley.
No, but
I've
you
never
can,
done
no,
one.
There is a website where it takes about 2 minutes to do one.
Right.
And they're.
JP, yeah, have you ever done a mock draft?
I have done a mock draft. I haven't done 14 today.
No, you've done a few.
I didn't say today.
Greeny, you've done a few?
I heard today.
I will do between 5 and 10 before the season.
Really? I'll probably do between 0 and 2. And my
who's the champion of the league?
What, from the year before and the year before
No.
me?
Well,
finished in the bottom two for the 3 years before.
But it's tough to know.
Then I started mock drafting. Coincidence? I think so.
I partner up with Tom in our team, and I'm convinced he does absolutely none. So he'll be listening, so maybe he can tell us different. Cool. On to the next question, which is from James at James Heseltine. I think that was a Barnet player who had a similar...
Andy Heseltine.
Yeah, what a legend. It's not him. Who's going to be the starting running back for the Vikings? JP?
I think it's quite an interesting one. I think we've got to kind of assume that Latavius Murray is going to at least start the season as the official starter. But having drafted Dalvin Cook, I think they're definitely going to split carries. And then I think as the season progresses, Cook is going to take that starting role and proceed with it. Yeah. What are you trying to tell me, Charles?
Well, sorry, you're mouthing something.
I think Dalvin Cook's going to start off being the third down back and being the pass catching player. Like, because
why didn't you tell JP all your thoughts during the podcast?
No.
Why were you just doing hand motions?
I was trying to
I
do a catch with
a
no ball. I do. I always want to cuddle.
Let's not do hugging again.
We'll do the post podcast cuddle. Okay. And final question, which is from Jack Baylor. Hope I pronounced that correctly. Which is at Jack_Baylor. Which franchise with a new head coach will finish with the best regular season record? I don't know who has a new head coach, so I'm going to need help from you guys. Anyone want to jump in on that one? Greeny.
I'll grab this one. So I'm going to go Anthony Lynn, recently signed head coach for the LA Chargers.
Oh, for God's sake. Okay.
Again?
So you've gone Rivers, you've gone Keenan Allen. You've gone for the Chargers overall.
I've named three names this podcast.
You're
every
loyal.
Answer has been.
Yeah, I like that. We also have perennial winner Gus Bradley.
Nice guy.
Okay. Absolute legend.
Charlesy, do you have a different... Oh, sorry, Greeny, were you going to explain
why? I was going to say, we're going to have we've improved offensively, defensively, good season ahead of us, and we've had the easiest schedule this year.
Okay.
From the AFC West team.
Okay.
Yeah, nice little caveat there. But as much as I probably should say the Denver Broncos, I'm going to say the Jags. The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, bias.
Yeah, well, you know.
Do the Eagles have a new head coach?
No, unfortunately not. So you've actually
is Andy Rick? That was years ago. Wasn't
yeah.
It?
Yeah. But I think the Jags, everyone keeps saying they've got a great team on paper, but they never do anything. This is the year where they're actually going to put it all together and win the Super Bowl.
Wow. You heard it here.
Not necessarily true, but if you say it with enough confidence, it will happen.
Not necessarily true, or is true? Not necessarily true. Okay, just to clarify. JP?
I mean, I don't know how much I actually believe this myself, but the 49ers...
Surely you don't believe that.
I mean, Kyle Shanahan...
I forgot they were even a team.
Kyle Shanahan did amazing things with the Falcons last year, obviously with better players, but I'm just quite excited what he's going to produce as a head coach, and it can't be worse than last year.
I think JP is thinking very much like Charles and that 49ers won the offseason.
What's happened to Kaepernick, talking of 49ers?
He's at the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Oh, is he going to play?
I think
he
signed
back up to Russell Wilson.
He's better than a backup, isn't he?
Well, there's a bit of baggage with him because he sat down during the national anthem.
Yeah.
Let's not go into that.
Us in Britain don't understand.
No.
No, they don't. I was in Toronto last week. Mentioned I was going. It was great. And I, speaking of American sports, I saw the Marlies play, which are the cheaper tickets if you want to watch. And don't call it ice hockey. Just call it hockey, because they're like, what other hockey would it be? I didn't want to tell them about rollerblading. But that was really cool. Just thought a little shout out to the Marlies. That was fun.
Bob Marley. Yeah, that's a nice little circle.
It all kind of ties it together, doesn't it? Charlie, have you got a trivia question for us before we leave everyone?
Yeah, I do. You've got three topics again.
Okay.
Because I can't be bothered to come up with three new topics each week. I'm recycling the two you didn't use.
Okay.
So once again, you've got recreational marijuana. You've got Brett Favre. And the new one, because obviously you used up the other one, is first time. Or first times.
Oh my gosh. Let's go for, I think, first time.
Yeah, let's go for first
let's
time.
Keep Brett Favre for a later date. I know Greeny
wants to
hear
that. Although the marijuana
one
would have been good because we talked about Josh Gordon so much, but let's go for the
next one. I do think the Brett Favre one is my favourite as well.
Well,
nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
First time it is, then.
Okay, so the question is, what was Miami quarterback Rob Greasy, I hope I'm pronouncing that correct, Greasy, the first NFL football player to wear in a game in 1977? So he was the first case of a player wearing
gloves,
this.
Sunglasses. You know the way that what's his name, Brian Dawkins of the Eagles, he used to wear those, didn't
I'm
he?
I'm going to say a sponsored mouth guard.
That's very specific.
Yeah.
Okay. Greeny.
I quite like Charles' answer of gloves. Am I thinking?
Got to go something else.
Body, kind of shoulder pads or helmet.
No. Yeah. Before that, everyone just died.
Is Greeny correct?
Josh is the closest. It's not sunglasses. Ooh. It's glasses.
Oh, he genuinely just wore glasses.
He wore eyeglasses.
He's reading glasses.
So,
isn't that very similar to helmet? It's an all-in-one.
Wait, no. Eyeglasses. What other glasses are there?
I said sunglasses.
Okay.
Well, yeah. What,
when did contacts come in?
Yeah.
So he actually tried contacts for a little while, and found he didn't do very well in them. He had one bad eye, one fine eye. And tried glasses. And
this is very specific trivia.
Yeah. That's correct.
So he was throwing through, his eyesight was through glasses through the tiny gap in his helmet, or not, if you're Greeny. Fair enough.
Well, yeah.
So well, I got the closest there.
Well done.
I'm taking that as a
I'll
win.
I'll give you a half point for that.
Thank you.
Yeah,
cheers,
that's the
mate.
First
you're
half
winning.
Point we've got so far in the podcast.
I'll keep a little tally so you can keep
it. Fantastic. Nice. Cool. All right, well, that's the end of this episode. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Tweet us, @Brits_endzone, or you can email us at BritsEndzone@gmail.com. We've had some pretty cool emails already saying they want to get involved, asking questions, all that kind of stuff. So keep in touch. Cool. All good?
All good.
Perfect. Let's
good.
Go eat.
See you guys.
Fantastic.
See you next week.